Praise God. I hope tonight you're experiencing the victory that was won and what Christ did as he paid the penalty for our sin on Calvary's cross. Once again, welcome to one and all. I'll briefly explain a few things here. You might have a bullet or a handout in your bulletin. I hope everyone got a bulletin tonight. As you know, when I'm involved in most things, they get confusing, right? This is a message that the first part of was preached 2 weeks ago in the morning, or was it three? I sound like Mr. Kimball on Green Acres. Anyway, I have it right here. It was the 17th of January in the AM. So what you have tonight, you have a new handout, okay? This is a superseded handout from the one that you got that morning because some of you came with a critical spirit and you said there's problems with this handout. So we fixed them, okay? We think we did anyway. But here's the thing. If you have your old handouts, put them on the new one that you got tonight. If you have a question about these points in there, I'm not going to go back over them, but just listen to the message on the website, and you'll be able to fill the blanks in, okay? So does anyone need one, or does everyone have one of those? But tonight we're going to begin on the third point of the message. And I'll just give you a brief recap, but before we go any further, this is a message about meditation. The title is The Value of Spiritual Meditation with God and His Word. And indeed, it was a requested message. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get down to business here just as soon as we pray. Lord, this is the primary business. Prayer is a very important thing. And we know that, Lord. It's underscored many times in your word. Help us, Lord. Help me. I'm deficient, Lord, in my prayer life. You know that. I can't hide that from you. And Lord, we know that there are distractions that come into our lives that Satan really, I think, is in favor of that stop us from getting alone with you, from not only having prayer time, but also time to meditate in your word. So I pray tonight, Lord, as we open your word, that you'll show us and that the Spirit will teach us how we can grow in our intimate walk with you, O Lord, and how we can see the benefits that you have there for us to reap from a closer walk with you. So, Lord, as the hymn says, I pray you'll grant that for all of us tonight, a closer walk with you, if you please, Lord. And that's our prayer tonight. Now, Lord, you know things are a little different tonight. Whenever things get disrupted, we fight with chaos. But I pray that you'll hold Satan's hands at bay, and, Lord, that you'll empower me, because you already know that I'm weak, I'm vulnerable, and, Lord, I'm always in need of your help to deliver this message. So, Father, help me, I pray. And may this be a night that, again, brings you honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, for those of you that were here that day when I introduced this message, we know that it was a message that it kind of grossed a few people out on the subject that I was talking about just before we went to lunch that day. And most of you are aware, anyway, how it operates here with me. I have every intention of getting a message fully preached, but it doesn't always turn out. So that's why we have to come back for part two like tonight. Well, let me refresh your memories a little bit. We were talking about Bossy. No, I'm not talking about Kim. No, Kim's not. What was I talking about? I call them the old girls. Some of them weren't all that old, although, you know, we had a cow or two that lived to be 12 and 13 years old, which is a pretty lengthy life for a cow. I have heard of a few that made it to like 17 or 18. But what were we talking about with the cows? Chewing the cud. And there's blanks there, and you can go back and listen to the message, but you'll hear the language. But, you know, that's really what meditation is all about. It's like getting the full value out of what God has given to us and in our walk with Him. And we saw those words compared there. Now, you remember about the cows. Four stomachs, right? They're called ruminants. At least every bit of food that they consume, they regurgitate and chew again how many times? At least twice. Okay? And how many actions of the jaw per regurgitation? 30 to 40. So, Dean, I don't know if you were here that morning, I think, but if you're out with the cows, and I talked about all the fixing of fences that I did and cutting thistles, I had a few of the cows that I could talk to and, you know, pet them and stuff. And some of the others, when they saw me coming, they got up and left. I told you all about that. They're just like people. But you'd hear the, And surely the old girls would sit there and chew their cud. But I got to ask you bluntly here tonight, how many of you have been chewing the cud of God's word in your walk with the Lord? Well, that's for you to answer to the Lord, but it's a question, and I've already told you, I'm deficient in this. Because Satan comes along like I did to some of those cows, and when, you know, he comes with his tricks and bags of tricks, we lose that intimate fellowship with the Lord. But that's what God wants. He wants us to get the full benefit out of what he has for us, both from his word, but also in our walk with him. As he speaks to us, we speak to him, and he teaches us, and he comforts us. You know, the Holy Spirit will always do his job, but one thing we need to remember is we need to what? We need to let him do his job. It's kind of like the old story, you know, when back in the day, today it's pretty much banned. You can't walk into an auto repair shop and go back and talk to the mechanic while they're working, right? Why is that? Well, the talk of it is that it's all about liability because you might get hurt out in that shop and you might sue that place. But that's not all of it because I think Kay said over here the reason, was it you or someone, Kim maybe, said that you bother the mechanic and what happens? Well, they might slip up. I've done that. I'm getting more prone to that. When people talk to me in that, I don't get everything right. But you also tend to what? You tend to impede their concentration, you see, on getting whatever it is that's in that shop repaired in the most efficient way possible, right? So that all comes down to the same thing with our meditation. Anyway, you'll recall the introduction to this message. So we're going to go to point three tonight, and if you don't have a way to get the blanks filled in, you can talk to me. I can get you a copy of the message, and we'll work on that. But point three tonight, the first two points that we learned, the first one is what is meditation? And the second point was, why does God command it? So tonight, how do we do it? And that's an important thing. Well, the first thing tonight, if you have your Bible or your device tonight, let's go to Psalm 119, because one of the most critical things of how we do meditation is by being involved in the Word. So your first blank should say something by involvement in the Word, by involvement in the Word. So let's go to Psalm 119, and we're going to look at several verses there, beginning with verse 15. And here, the writer, and of course, we know that Psalm 19 is what? The longest chapter in the Bible, and every bit of it revolves around what? God's Word. Every bit of it does. But here's what the writer wrote there. He said, I will, and there's the word meditate. I gave you the Hebrew definitions for those in that first message. But I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So there, we don't want to get bogged down on just one verse or two tonight, but we want to touch them all briefly. But you can see that God's precepts are his what? Another word that you can insert for precepts is his principles, the way he operates. Okay, if we would go into any of our homes tonight, we all know that we operate a little differently and we have our ways. How many of you have a catch-all drawer in your homes? Huh? Yeah. You know, there's a certain place that I throw keys. Kim is so cute about little things that she has stashed away different places. I've become much more involved, you know, in the cooking and things like that. And I know that Kim has little cubby holes with certain things. And I just see her signature all over the kitchen and how things are done. But, you know, God has a way that he operates too. And we'll never know how he operates unless we what? We investigate it. So his precepts, the way that he operates. And the other part there, the psalmist says, and I will and have respect unto thy ways. So we learn about God. We learn how he operates and the way he works from his word. And that's a part of our meditation. It's when we take that time to be involved with him, it shows us a deeper perspective on God. Over to verse 48. We're going to move real quick here tonight. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. So God has a plan, doesn't he? And he describes himself very well in Scripture. He identifies who he is. He expresses himself to us. It's a little continuation there of the verse that we just looked at, 15, previously there. But notice here, I will lift up, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. So the idea here is that person wanted to what? He wanted to get closer to God. And to understand him better, he already says he loves his commandments, but he says, I will meditate in your statutes. And so a statute is what? It's a law or a principle that God defines. So there, when we think about chewing the cud, that's one of the things that we can put in. You know, one of the definitions of meditation was to roll over and to go over and over it again and think about it, consider it. That's part of what meditation is and fits in with that verse. Verse 78 now of that same chapter, let the proud be ashamed, for they, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Now here's the thing, surely amen. You know what though? There's a lot of ways that our enemies, including the prime enemy who is Satan, can, you know, he can derail us from our meditation with the Lord. I've told you before many times, even when it comes to the preaching and that, I prefer if you have some big issue where you're mad at me and that you don't come to me about 2 minutes before I'm supposed to go up and speak publicly. Because I want to tell you something, that throws you off. Satan uses that because it's very hard to push that aside. And that's the same way it is with our meditation. Satan's going to try to derail us, as I've said earlier tonight. And notice he says here, my enemies have dealt perversely with me for what? No cause. Okay? Innocent. By the way, Satan attacks innocent people. You may not, want to place yourself into those situations of attack, but he chooses that kind of thing very often. But notice what he says here, but my response, again, to those type of attacks will be to meditate in the things of God again, in his precepts. So that's a helper too when we consider how do we meditate. And then verse 97, I believe, is the last one for tonight in this. And keep this in mind for a further category here. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And so we'll find out in another category that meditation is not something that we do necessarily at a certain time or situation that arrives, but it's something that we can do what? All day long. And we'll see that reconfirmed here in just a little bit. Now, another aspect of this, how many of you, if I don't want you to raise your hands tonight, but how many of you really, and I'm putting myself here too, could say that we always look at our time in God's Word or a time of meditation with sweetness and joy? Don't answer that tonight, only to yourself and to the Lord. But I believe this, folks, that sometimes, maybe I'm the only one here that'll admit this tonight, but sometimes we just don't want to get into the Word. We don't want to take time out because there's snow to shovel or things that need to be taken care of that we believe are very critical and other things. But folks, being involved with Him is appropriate at any time, and to be thinking about Him. And I think this also, that we can apply every situation we find ourselves in, whether it's a snowstorm this morning and we're shoveling snow, or whatever the situation may be, we can be assured of this, that God is in the midst of it. There were no mistakes. We may have made a mistake this morning by canceling church, but God didn't make a mistake by sending the snow and the ice. Let me just say this, some of you folks that are more southernly rooted down here, God is good to you folks. When we got down here, Dean, all you had was about an inch of snow and slush. Up home, we had mostly all snow. So, again, God's in the middle of it, and He has a reason. We may make errors, but He doesn't. But meditation is appropriate all the time. But sweetness and enjoy, that's the point of what I'm talking about here. Psalm 104:34. And again, I can't give you all the verses tonight in this short message that we could look to in the Word, but you can find them. That's part of meditation. Running on to new things. Running on to new food that God has for us. 104:34. As soon as I get this page turned, and here we go. 104:34. And here we find the psalmist writing, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let me just say this, God will not bless, likely, a meditation where you say, well, here it is again, Lord, I got to set aside this time to sit here with you, and I don't really want to do it. But you know, if we'll check our hearts, just like we did here before worship. I don't know what you folks prayed, but I'll guarantee you, if it wasn't truly what you wanted tonight, God may work in it, but we are a substantial hindrance to our own sweetness and joy. But here the psalmist tells us what? He says, I will be glad, and the time that I have to be with God, I look forward to. It's a refreshing, sweet time. Folks, maybe tonight we could all confess that we struggle with those areas, but we don't have to, right? If we get ourselves what? Redirected, and allow God to redirect us and to change us. It's the word transformation. You know, it's that idea, just like I've told you about many times with Kim. She rearranges our house a few times a year. Not critical things. The bathroom is still where it was supposed to be. But, you know, she changes the furniture around and does things differently. But that's what we need. We need to have our furniture reset in our minds. Because when we get too fixed on things and get into bad habits, we need to allow the Lord to change us and to renovate us. That's the word we're looking for there, renewal, renovation. Anyway, so that's a part of it, in sweetness and in joy. And then again, one of the bases for our meditation should really be around what God has done. And we'll look into that as we go. But let's take a look at Psalm 143:5. 143:5. And of course, we know that God did what? He did it all. This is His creation. And He displays Himself very well. His handiwork is there for us to see if we'll what? If we'll open up our eyes and take the time to investigate it and look at it. And you know, I'm a big proponent of watching the sun rise and watching it set. And, you know, now it's coming up a little bit earlier, right? I think about 6:30, it's light in the east. Jason, I see you back there. Go ahead. In sweetness and joy. Does that correlate with your sheets? Does it? If there's an error, we'll correct it. On God's works, 143:5, but in sweetness and in joy under B. Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Now, there's some key words in there, but we got to do it quick. This week, Lord willing, again, Kim and I are headed up for that conference. One of my favorite professors, I call him the Reverend Dr. R.L. Domikos, but he's Dr. Bob Domikos. He and I had good times, and always have, and we keep in touch. He's in his 80s pretty far now, but he's going to teach one of the seminars this week, and it's about reminiscing. How many of you like to reminisce? Oh, I like it. Kim tells me all the time, you live in the past. Well, no, I don't necessarily, but there are some things I do enjoy, you know, talking about and remembering. But here's what he says. That can be a part of it too. Where have you been on your journey with God? Well, I've been through some journeys and you have too. And it's good to remember some of those neat things. I always point out right back there where Gene Rock's sitting tonight, it's a dangerous place to be at Fruitland Baptist Church. Because that's where God called me into the vocational ministry. Right where you're sitting, Gene. And neat things, you know, that come about. But he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. You know, it isn't wrong to consider God's creative work. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. Amen? But notice he uses another term here in the last part of that sentence. He says, I muse on the work of thy hands. What's it mean to muse? We talked about chewing the cud tonight, so this is not a cat meowing or a cow mooing, but muse. What's that mean? Well, to me, it says we sit down with a cup of coffee and we what? We just think about the Lord. And whatever thing comes into our mind about Him, we what? We take a little time, think about Him. We ponder it. We explore it. We allow the Spirit to speak to us about it. And He enriches us. And again, the psalmist here says, think about His works. Think about our salvation. You know, that's not a flippant thing, folks. It's a marvelous thing. Everything God does or will do is going to be marvelous. It's going to be dynamic. It's divine, you see. And let me just say this. we have so many things that we can fill our mind with of the things of God. And so I challenge us all, let's fill our minds and allow Him to fill our minds with His things. But muse upon them, consider them. So on God's works, that's your blank. On His goodness, Psalm 77:12. I know it's backwards. I have troubles. Psalm 77:12. And again, there are many verses that we could go to tonight, many other illustrations. 77:12, it says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. And let me just say, God has given us so much there. He feeds us with a fire hose, or gives us drink with a fire hose, doesn't He? Because He has dynamic stuff to deliver to us. And there's many more that we could go into tonight, but the practical side of this, I want to just dwell on this for 1 minute and we'll move on. But the practical side, and this is all found in Scripture, but it isn't necessarily that I'm going to give you verses tonight. But number one, set goals for your meditation. What might be involved in setting goals? It might be a time. It might be a length of time that you spend. It might be a place. Preacher man, now, I just mentioned that. What else could it be?
Just being consistent.
Consistency. Areas of study. See, of things that you might be wondering about. Denny?
Commitment.
See, this is not a flippant thing. It's very important because these are practical things, but set goals. And here's what I have here that I had written down, but focus on certain places of study, topics of study that you have, that you wondered about. And the other thing that you can do is an investigative work, of course, but you can break down verses, and you will find that those verses are just dynamic when you look into the words. For instance, let's go to John 3:16. You could make a meditation, a multi-day meditation of going through John 3:16, verse by verse. Four. And you could think about four. You could investigate it linguistically, but you could also think, what's that word? Well, it's with God's intended purpose. God's purpose, four. And you could break all these down. For God. You could look up the term there for God in that verse. And you could find a lot of stuff right behind that that will explain the personality of the Godhead and of God in that sense. You could go all the way through that, for God so loved. And let me tell you, folks, that's how you get deeper into Scripture. That's how you get deeper with the Lord, when you look into it deeply and He feeds you and He'll show you. He'll give you enough cud to chew on from that verse and any other verse that you choose, that it will be dynamic, and he'll bring something out of that that you will never have even thought, even if it's the 100th time you've looked at that verse. I guarantee it. So you could look for the big, deep questions, and you might find answers, but the key here in our meditation is to go as deep as you can. Go as deep as you can. Now, did I adequately fill those blanks? Set goals for your meditation, verse focus, break down by words, investigate the examples, dig deep, ask questions, find answers, really go deep, okay? So there's just a little help there on that. Now we're going to move on here to point four, and this has to do with the location, and the Bible has a lot to say about that. So let's explore that tonight. Let's go to Genesis 24:63. Genesis 24:63.
63 or
63. Do we have a misprint? We do. I'll talk to the people in charge. John, you made a mistake. You need to get it right. All right, I will. Change it. By the way, anything that goes wrong here at Fruitland Baptist Church, it's just like H.S. Truman. Remember what the sign said on his desk? So ultimately, if there's a problem, who do you come to here? You come to the source of the problems. Anyway. Now, some of you aren't Muscatine natives here tonight, but you have heard of this guy named Mark Twain. Some of you are familiar with a street called Mississippi Drive. It used to be called Front Street. If you drive east on Mississippi Drive, you'll run into one of Mark Twain's residences. It's somewhat dilapidated these days. You know where I'm talking about? Yeah. Reportedly, that's the place he wrote about Muscatine's beautiful sunsets. Now, you know, on the cab of the doors and on the letterhead and the city of Muscatine, what's the symbol for the city? Well, I think it's supposed to be sunsets, Lonnie. Yeah, yeah. It's not the wastewater treatment plant down here. It's not GPC, but it's Mark Twain's sunsets, because he said Muscatine had what? The most beautiful sunsets. But I'll put up the sunrises along with that. And I haven't lived many other places, you know, for lengthy times, and mainly just to visit. But I do think we have beautiful, beautiful sunsets here in Muscatine. But notice here, who are we talking about here? A guy named Isaac, right? By the way, this was a good time for Isaac to be out meditating, because he was getting set up with a chicky poo with his wife to be. And her name was Rebecca. But notice what Isaac did. And Isaac went out to, and there's your word, meditate in the field at eventide. The field meaning what? Very likely in that situation there, this was what we call a pastoral setting. I talked to you a lot about pastures that last message. But he went out somewhere that was probably what toward evening? A place of tranquility. A place to get away from everything. And a place to enjoy, again, God's works. His sunset at eventide. But this is the time that Isaac, at least one time, that is shown in Scripture, where he meditated. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And you know the story from there. What an exciting thing. But here it is. Where is it done best? Well, here's a couple of examples. In a place of solitude. And maybe it's a time in the evening when you're kind of just reflecting on the day and what God has done. Or you could use the time at the sunrise. And let's go to Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3 comes right after the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. Lamentations, I'm getting there. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. You're probably well aware of this. Jeremiah was a meditator. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. We have a pretty good indication here that one of the times that Jeremiah meditated and had time with the Lord was when? Very early in the day at sunrise. So there's some possibilities there. But along with that, at night and in bed. And I have to admit to you, there's most nights I sleep like a log, but occasionally I don't. And you know, that's a great time to be thinking about the things of the Lord. And to be letting him feed your heart. I don't do it anymore, but because I don't know, I just have gotten out of that situation. I used to keep note cards by the bed, because sometimes God will deliver you some of the most fantastic stuff in the middle of a night. He really will, and it's important to remember that. But let's go to Psalm 63:6. Psalm 63:6. Yeah, I'm having trouble getting my pages turned here. I got to go back further, John. Psalm 63:6. Psalm 63:6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So the psalmist here is saying when? When you can't sleep, or when you're out, yeah, don't count sheep, talk to the Lord, right? Yeah. There it is, middle of the night. You get the point. And then let's go to Psalm 1:2, since we're going to stay in order here. This is a psalm probably a lot of us have memorized. Psalm 1, but beginning with, we'll read verses 1 and 2, but the key here is, the key. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate whenever he wants. Well, that's true too, but he does it day and night, right? Okay, so that means what? We can do it anytime, all times. Okay, and then Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. And again, we'll find the same thing. God never changes. He tells it like it is from cover to cover. Joshua 1:8. Remember, Moses has died. Joshua's got the leadership role. God says, you get these people across the creek and into the place I want you. Meaning the Canaan, or the Jordan River, right? So here's what he says to Joshua. You know, everyone is always concerned about how to be successful. Right? Don't measure success by the world. You measure it by what God tells us to do, okay? And here it is. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I never hear this from Hollywood. I never hear this in the advertising world. But I hear it from Almighty God in His Word. But you can meditate when? Anytime, all the time, any place, anywhere. And then the last one, Matthew 6:6. And again, there's more that I could bring you tonight, but I'll be in trouble if we go too far over. Matthew 6:6. Matthew 6:6. Of course, Matthew, the Matthew text of Matthew 6 is what? The main thing there. Jesus' instruction about praying and fasting and what you live for further down the line. But Matthew 6:6, he's talking here about prayer because we already learned in our first message on this that part of meditation is prayer, right? But he says here, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Another word or words that you could insert in there for closet is a secure room. Some of you remember the movie, and I'm going blank on it right now. War Room. Yeah. We need a place where we can get away. And that's made valid here by what the Lord said. So this is what I've got written here in my notes. We need to go alone into the closet with some solitude where they can't get to you. But don't forget, Satan can still get to your mind. He can derail you in a secure place too. But I think we have to pray him out of our way when we go into that secure place and ask God to bind his hands and give us a clear interaction with himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. But in the closet, alone, in solitude, with no interruptions. And folks, the preacher man just told us this from the back row, but we need to have a plan, time, and a habit that does not get disrupted by anything other than earth-shaking events. And I mean by that, it's got to be big. If there's a tornado coming, it doesn't mean you change your plans on meditating. Because God knows where you're at. And let me tell you, when you're in His presence, you're in a safe room. Amen? But a plan, time, a habit, and a pattern is good practice. Now I've got an arrow on my sheet to the last page. And that is this. What are the benefits? Again, I did not give you everything there, but I gave you some things that you need to investigate the Scripture further. This is a brief recap now of the benefits before we close of meditation. First of all, a closer walk with God and with others. Not only will our lives expand in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but it'll give us another perspective on those that we deal with, whether it's your wife, your husband, your neighbor, your kids, your banker, your lawyer, your doctor, your Indian chief, and right on down the line. Changes you, folks. A closer walk with God and also with others. Point B. A deeper and expanded knowledge of God and His will for you. You wonder about what God wants you to do? It ain't going to come out of the ether, folks. It's going to come when you're meditating with Him and the Spirit shows you either through the Word or shows you. He gives you an unction. That's what the King James Version calls it. He shows you what to do, and folks, that's accomplished through meditation, getting alone with God and His Word. Point C, a richer prayer life. A richer prayer life. Guaranteed, if we'll come before the Lord and make a commitment to Him, He will enrichen our walk, and it'll deepen our prayer life. Okay? Point D, a growth in spirituality from the Spirit. I hear people use this term. He's not, or she is not very spiritual. Well, I'll tell you how you get spiritual. By hanging with the Spirit. It's that simple. He's the teacher. He's the parakletos. He's the personality of the Godhead that comes alongside of you personally. See? And He wants to teach us. Are you receptive? Am I receptive? But growth in spirituality from the teaching from the Holy Spirit. And then E, meditation will bring about a change and a transformation in Christ. Like I mentioned earlier, where our mind is renovated, just like when Kim does the living room. It's different and it's improved, even though technically Kim puts it back in the same order about three times a year, but in a different way. But that isn't the case with God. When He renovates us, it's like getting a new living room as we work along with Him. That's the value of meditation. And then last point. The ability to be more useful to the cause of Christ. The ability to be more useful to the cause of Christ. It's a guarantee if we'll allow our meditation with the Lord to be improved and to increase. And I could go on all night with more things, but I won't. So here's the conclusion. You heard it one other time if you were here on that Sunday. Who would come clean and join me this morning, but tonight, seeking a closer walk with God in prayer and meditation? My prayer is still the same. What is God speaking to you and I about today as you ponder, and that's one of the words for meditate, as you ponder Him? But remember this tonight, folks. We're 2 weeks away from the first part of when this message was preached. We're a day away from yesterday, and we're at the precipice of another new day coming on here in about five more hours. But let me just tell you, folks, and by the way, I've got a funeral tomorrow for a gal that we've known. You know, there's people dying every day. There's also people being born every day. And we know this. Some of us have been through these things real recently here. But folks, time is short. And if you fooled around till you're in your 60s like me, or maybe some of you are in your 20s tonight, or 30s, or 40s, or 50s, or 80s, or whatever, it's short. You can't make up for what you've lost. You can try. And God sometimes will allow that kind of a gracious thing to happen. But folks, we need to get this on the forefront of the first burner on the stove. Amen? Because time is short, and I recognize that tonight. Kim told me tonight on the way, and she says, you know what, there's a lot of people our age that are in the obituaries. And I told, what did I tell you, Kim? We're in that season. I acknowledge that, Lord. You know? But time is short. And this is the key. A move toward Him will be beneficial because, as we know, neutral or moving away from God would be a terrible shame. We'll know that one day. We're going to know very plainly where we wasted time. And Lord, I confess to you tonight, I've wasted time. And I'm sorry. And I do need help to see myself improve in these areas and in my walk with the Lord. Well, that's all I've got to say. You want to hear anything else? I think it's enough for one night. Main thing is what, though? Not just to listen, but to what? Do something. Because time is wasting. Again, as we sing tonight, your response, it's not necessary to me, but our response is necessary before God. I've already told you where I'm at. I'm trying to see my walk and my life reconstructed to a way that I can have more of these opportunities. But you know what? I can't blame anyone else but who? Thank you, Denny. I knew you'd let me know. But it's the truth. The Bible says we're without excuse. It's up to us to make the move toward Him. Amen. Well, tonight we don't have it on the screen. Well, it's on the screen. I think it is, but it's okay. Yeah. No, I don't believe that's it. Well, it's supposed to be 4:58, draw me nearer. So let's just stand tonight. Unless it's on there, but no. 4:58, most of you probably know this, but this is really a prayer. And let's sing the first and the last stanza, but tonight, make your move toward the Lord, whether it be here in this place. I mean, you can always come forward. I'm glad to visit with you and encourage you. You're an encouragement to me, but take time tonight and start. There's no better time to start than when? Right now. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Stanza 4. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Lord, you've given us the tools. I hope that's the desire of all of our hearts here tonight. We'll leave it tonight at that, Lord, with that very song, that if we sang that in genuineness of our heart, Lord, that you'll honor that request. Now, I pray that you'll bless and keep us as we travel our homeward ways until we meet again, Lord, and help us again as we confront people with your love throughout this upcoming week. Lord, we thank you that you have bound us together in the unity of the body of Christ. And Lord, we love you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.